Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, the 26th of April, 2024, and we're reading in the Big Book and Bill's story. We've got to finish it up. We're on page 16, that second paragraph, and that paragraph starts with, "There is, however," and it ends with, "or we perish." And we're just reading that paragraph. Today's readers, for the 12 steps, we have Tenzin P. For the 12 traditions, we have Jim F. Reading the text is Marge O. Page 164 is Ramona A. Our backup readers, Amory M. Newcomer greeters, Chris G. Second hour host is Karen K. And announcements are Kathy S. So the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, April 25th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,347. That's 21,347. And the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting, is 21,348. That's 21,348. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope for recovery from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of action of recovery. I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Star one, Tenzin.
Okay, I'm here. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up with the 12 traditions is Jim F.
Good morning. These are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or communities directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Jim. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we're back in Bill's story. We're about to end it. Page 16, the second paragraph. It starts with, there is, however, and then ending with, or we perish. All right. Now, and Marjo is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ, again. Thank you. This is Marjo from Massachusetts, gratefully recovered, day at a time. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. I'm so thankful to be a reader today because these last few paragraphs have meant so much to me. And I especially enjoy this because I was surprised, too, when I went to OA and people would laugh and make jokes and poke fun at themselves regarding their program and some of the things that they discovered about themselves. And I come from a large family. We have Irish background. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of troubles, but we seem to be able to poke fun at ourselves. And I was also a person who realized that working my 12 steps, that there were some really odd things about my thought process. And underneath that was that earnestness that I gave time to the program. I always have. I learned early on. I was very fortunate. I've been in the program. I came in my mid-30s, and I'm 78, almost 79. And I've never left, and I've been so eternally grateful. And then I met Visions even later along in my program, and that has even upped the ante, so to speak. It's been wonderful. But this faith, it's so important to know that I have a higher power. I mess up in life in general. Everything isn't exactly as I would like it to be. I get resentful. Thank you, God, for step 10 and learning more about that and how to handle that. And just to know that these fellows, these thousands of people out there that understand exactly what I'm saying if I call and say, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm extremely resentful of this or that. So often it's something I can't change. I have no control over. And boy, don't I dislike that. But the joy of knowing that I'm not alone, that I'm not an oddball. I'm the only person in my family in program. They do think my food is a little weird. I don't think they ever got over the feeling it was a cult, but they see the difference in me because that paragraph before, you know, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I had become an unlovely creature because I was upset and angry all the time. So I will pass, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else says. Thank you.
Russ, we don't hear you.
Lost star one, buddy.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. I could be...
We hear you, Russ.
All right. Sorry. I need my time to so the lines are sharing, and you know the deal. If you share in the past couple of days, please step back and now others get a chance to share. Who would like to share on this
Melissa,
passage here?
Melissa C.
Pete B.
Julie B. Janice PM.
All right, we got
Rachel K.
Vasa O.
Janice. Vasa. Who else?
Did you get Melissa C?
All right, was that the first one? All right, we'll.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, sorry about that.
Did
Melissa.
You get
I'm
Pete?
Out in...
Okay.
Well, I got Pete right now. We got him.
Okay, good.
Thanks, buddy. Sorry about that. My Bluetooth was acting up. I apologize. So I got Melissa C, Julie B, Janice PM, Vaso, PP. Who else would like to share?
Rachel K.
Rachel. All right, we'll go with that for the first round. Melissa C., Julie B., Janice PM, Vaso, PP, and Rachel K. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Russ, thanks so much for taking the meetings. Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, actually, this paragraph, I kind of think about, you know, we can hear it on the line. We can hear it even before the meeting starts, that there is a vast amount of fun about it all. And, you know, for me, I think about, like, there's so many examples, but if you've ever been out to the OA birthday party in LA and how much fun was, like, truly had, you know, like, people are really happy about being together with, you know, I know I was happy about being together with my people, you know, and yet there was an earnestness carrying the message there, telling others about this way of life, but at the same time, celebrating my freedom, you know, like who would want this, you know, if we're in the business of convincing people or helping people see that there's something to be gained in this way of life, who in the world would want a way of life if people walked around looking pissed off all the time, you know, even if it means death? Like the best way I often think to carry the message is, it's great to have knowledge of the big book, and I do study the book, and it's important to sit with people one-on-one and to give clear direction. But, you know, it's how are you living? What are you showing up like? Are you good humored about it all? Or are you having like little mini temper tantrums? And, you know, I can either be a cautionary tale or an attractive example of this way of life. And yet the truth is I don't have to fake it. It's like it's genuine because, you know, I think about this idea about the faith, right? The faith is the certainty. There's like an unshakable power source that we have, that God, you know, that I can rely on God in any and all situations. And this is like, the book tells me, this is the central fact of my life, is the absolute certainty that God has entered my heart and he lives there in a way which is indeed miraculous. And so, you know, I'm the recipient of a miracle, and I bring with it a responsibility, you know, and I let it run in me and through me 24 hours a day, or I'm going to die. Like, it's just that serious. And yet I have joy and purpose. And so, you know, I think even last night, like, I went out to dinner with my husband and some friends, and if there's something, you know, more funny to laugh about is to hear somebody order dinner and, you know, who's a compulsive overeater. But I'm no joke about it. I'm pretty serious about it, and yet I can do it in a way that's lighthearted and fun. And my husband always pokes fun at me. He always, like, says to the waitress, like, oh, boy, get ready for this one. And we laugh. And, yeah, I'm just going to close up with that. Like, we can laugh at ourselves, you know, and yet there's a serious and an earnestness underneath that. And thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Julie B., followed by Janice P.M.
Yay, thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate you. This is Julie B. from Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful for this paragraph today, just because it's like Friday, and, you know, I like, you know, the whole like fun Friday thing. So it's a good thing to start the day like this. And I feel like when I first started going to OA meetings that the fun pulled me in. There were some people there that just had just like a levity about them. Like they, you know, yes, of course, it's such a serious matter, but, you know, they had fun and they laughed and they made fun of each other and of themselves. And I just, that's something that pulled me really into program, because if it was serious, I don't know if I would have gone. Like I'm a girl that just wants to have fun. So, you know, there probably is a level of, you know, I would have judged it. I would have maybe turned my back and I would have gone back into the food. In looking up, you know, what earnestness means, it's a trait of being serious. And right under that surface of laughter, you know, that clown is not always happy. And I should know that because my dad was a professional clown. So I know the darkness that can happen just below the surface. And that's what it is. You know, even me in the world, I can put on a lot of makeup and pretend, and I can draw a smile on, but underneath that makeup, underneath what you see and what I show you, is a girl that isolates. It's a girl that thinks everyone is against her. It's a girl that lives in fear, is paralyzed by fear. It's a girl that procrastinates, even though she has a lot of goals. And so it's just right under that surface. The seriousness of this disease cuts me off from you. I'm no longer useful. I'm no longer on purpose in my life. But I love this fellowship, and I get to make calls, which is still sort of a love-hate, but they're more fun. And now I have a list of questions that I like to ask others when we talk. And sometimes I like treat it like it's a trivia fun game. Like, you know, tell me what your God does. Like, you know, what's your favorite step? Like there's like a fun aspect that is welcome here. And I love that. And I hope you all have a great Friday. Add me to your outreach. Thank you.
All right, Jewel. Thank you very much. Next up is Janice PM, followed by Vasa O.
Yes, pardon me. Good morning, Russ. This is Jan and everyone. This is Janice, PM, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. This is quite a paragraph, isn't it? There's a lot of big words here, but you know, they're so meaningful to me now. Now, you know, people that are new and they're coming into the meeting for the first time, and you know, we're not very happy when we come in here. I mean, the worst thing is that you're going to take away my food. So we think. However, when we get into the meeting, we see that, yeah, it's serious. But we have fun. We're not all doom and gloom. Because how can we be when we study these steps and we find a power greater than ourselves to solve our problems? We want to shout from the rooftops, don't we? And we sound like we're preaching, but we're not. We're just happy that we found a solution. There's laughter in here. The moderator is fun. Other people, when we laugh at what they did because we can identify with them. It's not doom and gloom, because we found a we found the best thing that I've ever found. However, you know, if I don't keep this up, there's an ominous warning here. We're very serious, but picture a swan on a lake. The swan goes nice and smooth, but the swan's little legs underneath is working very, very hard. And that's what allows the swan to look like he's peaceful. She's peaceful. She's serene. And, you know, if we don't, this is the ominous warning, if we don't continue to grow spiritually through life, through its certain, you know, trials and low spots, we will die if we don't get into the habit of enlarging our spirit, my spiritual life, through work and self-sacrifice of others. I won't survive. Now, you know, the other day I had an example. I had to do some financial business in the bank, and I was not recovered in my emotions. I went into a state that I was very angry, and boy, oh boy, I was mad because I took a 10th step. I knew it was my fault, and I had to call the manager and apologize. What a freedom that was. I'm still not through the trials and the low spots of the situation. However, I'm still not cured. I heard you, and thank you so much. So if we don't have faith around the clock, I will die. I will perish. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
All right there, Jan. Thank you. Before my best friend Vasa jumps on here, let me let you know where we're at. Unless you got, in case you got on the meeting a little late. We are on page 16 in Bill's story. That second paragraph, there is, however, and it ends with, or we perish. All right, Vasa is up.
Thank you, Russ, for your service. And good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa. Grateful recover compulsive over here, calling from Port Charles, Florida. And thank you, everybody, for your shares. And I love the last sentence. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish, or we die. And I mention this every time I go to the meetings, you know. This was it. If I didn't follow this program, the way it's laid out, I would be dead today, or I'd be a very sick woman, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'd probably be dead. I probably would be dead today. So I can laugh today, and I can be also serious. This is a deadly disease. It would kill me, you know. And I took it very seriously when I came to the program, because I didn't want to die. I'm so grateful that I have found the 12 steps, this big book that was given to me right from the beginning. My sponsor gave it to me. I said, well, I don't need it. I'm not an alcoholic. And I didn't even know food addiction, it was a disease. And I didn't know anything about the allergy. Oh, my God. I was so much into those alcoholic foods. That's all I wanted to eat. I would cook. I'm a gourmet cook. And I'd cook all these wonderful meals for my kids and my husband. I didn't even want to eat them. I always went back to, I went to eat the sugary things. I liked the effects of them. Thank you, God. I took it seriously. And it is a 24-hour for me. It starts in the morning on my knees. And that's, and I haven't give up. That's what I do. This, it's a way of life now. It's not even effort. I just do it. It just comes to me naturally. And I haven't stopped doing what I'm doing because it works. Why would I want to stop doing what's working? I've had people in, that I had sponsored or friends that came in the program, and they left and they died. I've seen it. My friend died from this disease, and she said to me, Vasa, I beg you, don't break your abstinence. Don't go back to those alcoholic foods. I cannot even get my abstinence back again. It was harder for her to do it the second time than the first time. She only licked her finger. They opened the Mr. Donut shop. And then she licked her finger, and that was the end of her abstinence. And she said, I will come when I lose all the weight because I'm so ashamed to come back. And I loved her so much. We became such good friends, and it killed her. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is PP, followed by Rachel K.
Thank you, Russ. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I live in Pennsylvania. You know, yesterday's paragraph, see our way of life, right? And then it talks about in here that, you know, faith has to work 24 hours a day and through us. And, you know, we'll often hear on the line about people talking about, you know, I came to program. And then, you know, my program, and I have to do work my steps. And, you know, this book outlines a process of having a spiritual experience. And in that process, it has steps. And in those steps, one of them is to make a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand God. So that means that there's no program and life. See, what we're doing here right now, this is the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. This is the fellowship, right? Our way of life isn't, you know, calling somebody to tell them that I'm going to have 4 ounces of pork rather than 4 ounces of turkey. Right? Our way of life isn't, I got to call my friends to tell them that I'm having a resentment. Right? These are elements of the process of having the experience, but it's not our way of life. Our way of life, as a result of working the steps, of aligning our will with God's, of having a spiritual experience, of becoming recovered, is about freedom. It's about victory. It's about recognizing and understanding, but by finding a power greater than ourselves, none of the challenges that we encounter are insurmountable, right? We don't have to embrace the things that everybody says as that's what everything says. We'll go to great lengths to break down, you know, big words in the big book. We'll break out the dictionary and say what this means and this match, this means, that means, right? How about looking up the words were and was? Right? Because in every single instance, this program is not about, you know, coming to the conclusion that I am powerless and I'll always be powerless and I'll never have any power. It says that lack of power was our dilemma. And then it later on tells us that the whole object of the book is to find a power. So we get power. I believe it so beautifully in the special editions on Sunday. It said that we agents. And as agents, we have a level of power. Right? So this way of life is about victory. It's about freedom. Being able to be the best example of God's love, God's will, and God's way of life in every single aspect of our life. Peace.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Next up is Rachel K., and then we'll take another list.
Oh, hi. This is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana, and I am by no means an AA or OA historian, but if you haven't done so already, I urge everybody first of all, get an AA 12 and 12 if you don't have one, and read in tradition 4, and on page 149, it says, it talks about this group, a local group, and they had like all these rules, like 61 rules of how to run the group, and they realized they were getting caught up in rules, and they had written rule 62 on a little card, and you opened up the little card, and it said rule 62, don't take yourself so damn seriously. And so that sort of became AA lore, you know, rule 62, don't take yourself so damn seriously. And that is such a good reminder to me because, I could walk around perpetually offended, like you're not respecting me enough. This family member did this to me, did this to me. And so much of program for me is getting in touch with my inner adult, not being a baby about things, and basically saying, you know what, Rachel, lighten up, you know, lighten up, Francis, I don't have to take myself so seriously. So, you know, this applies not only to, you know, me, and it's all about humility, because when I am just hurt all the time, this person hurt me, whatever, it's all about ego. But also I love like the levity of the fellowship. This past weekend I had the honor to, you know, spend an evening, a couple of evenings with OA fellows, where it was just such a gift. I mean, to be around people, some of them, you know, I hadn't met in person, I had met on Zoom, who, you know, when it talks about we become fast friends, you know, there was just this bonding and this cheerfulness that is amazing, that feeds my soul, you know, that what my soul was hungry for so long. And so, you know, I love how this chapter talks about the earnestness of our spirituality, you know, this undercurrent of earnestness, but on top is just this levity and this fun that, you know, that I don't have to take myself so seriously. I can lighten up and be a light to others in the process. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great weekend, my pal.
All right there, Rachel, thank you. So now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon again, and if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have a chance to share. Who would like
Nancy
to share
P?
In this paragraph?
Ken W.H.
Ken?
Lulu L.
Lulu?
Did you get Nancy P?
I got you, Nancy. Sorry about that.
Kelsey R.
Kelsey.
Becky K.
Becky. Who else? We
can
take two. We can take two more, I think. One more after this.
Got you. Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah B.
All right, let's go with that. Nancy P., Ken W.H., Lulu L., Kelsey R., Becky K., Anne-Marie M., and Sarah B. Nance, you're up.
Hi, good morning. Thanks, Russ. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. Rupert in West Newton, Massachusetts. I wasn't going to share today because I usually only share once a week, but the other shares inspired me, and I was thinking about, you know, faith must whatever, 24, I'm agnostic. So the reason I wanted to share is a word to the people that have trouble with prayer and God and faith and everything. And I can tell you this, that the joy and the light and the buoyancy that I feel that I have in my life every day, every breath, feels like faith and it feels like prayer. And, you know, I used to go to OA meetings when I was a kid and I'd hear people talk about, you know, stuff that I would find humiliating, they would all laugh. And I never could identify. I was always like, oh, my God, can you imagine if that ever happened to me? But, you know, that's what adolescents think about everything, you know. I'm so embarrassed about my parents. I'm so embarrassed about this. They're always embarrassed. And then I started, as I grew older, I went to an AA meeting once, and this guy shared, was speaking, and he was like a biker. He had a big beard and a leather vest and a wallet on a chain and boots and everything. And he was talking about one of his last drunks, and he said that he was on his motorcycle, and he was driving down in the backyards of houses, and he decided that it was raining, and he decided he needed some dry clothes, so he stole something off of a clothesline, only to find out that the garment he had stolen was a dress. And everybody erupted in laughter, like uncontrollable. They thought it was hilarious. And I thought to myself, that's what I want. I want to be able to laugh at myself and everything. And I can do that today strictly because I talk to other people and I hear their pain and their fear and their, you know, and their rage. And I can remember what it was like. And so, you know, I don't pray or anything as a thing because I can't do that, but I do things that are prayerful. Like I work in my garden and I take care of my family. And I was thinking about, you know, faith. I really don't think about that too much. But when people were sharing about it, I thought, you know, my joy is like faith. It feels like faith. I think what faith feels like to other people, I think, you know, I'm not a sort of a cue the Handel music kind of a girl, but I can see where those things manifest themselves in my life. And I'm just going to give one last example because it's so awesome. I sew and I make jeans, and my husband gave me my own anvil to pound rivets. And, you know, that felt like laughter bubbling up inside me, you know, and it came out and I laughed and I said, you know, chocolates are a no-no, flowers will, but this anvil is going to be an heirloom, and I can leave it to my granddaughter. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Lulu L.
Hey, Russ. Ken W.H. here, recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'm just so grateful that Rule 62 was mentioned. I was going to say it myself. It's a great awareness of taking it so seriously. And but I wanted to share a couple things. One is, levity is a good thing, and having fun, that's a great thing. I need to be careful that I am fun with myself. I don't have any right to laugh at you or laugh or use your stuff to make other people laugh. I don't have that freedom anymore. I used to do it all the time and it was not pretty. Because I used to be made fun of a lot and I watched people laugh at me. And I never liked that. But I can laugh at myself today because I'm just making my way one day at a time and I'm grateful for that. And I'm always reminded as I go back, I can't speak for anybody else. I can't even use the word we as I talk and say we are, even as I think about we are a glum lot. Well, maybe we're not, but I know I'm not anymore. And I used to be a glum lot all by myself. All of me was a glum lot. Today, I know differently. I'm not. I enjoy life. Life's good. Always reminded, and I have to go back to my story and think about some of the stuff that went on. And I guess my most important one, because it's so serious, it was so deep. I was paranoid. I was looking over my shoulder all the time. Is who's watching me? And I was just paranoid about what people were thinking. So what I would do is I was driving down the road and breaking the law by littering. Before I threw my candy wrappers out the window, I would wipe my fingerprints off them. And I think about that's sick. That's crazy. I mean, that's paranoia. And it was deep and it was real for me. But I look back on it and say, wiping my fingerprints off of candy wrappers, because I figured they're going to find it. They're going to lift the fingerprints off of it, and they're going to come and find me. They're going to find me and find me that $250 for whatever. How ridiculous can it be? That's where it was. I can laugh at that today. And I can sing, celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. Oh, my, yes, I can do that today because I'm alive. I'm free and I'm abstinent. And God is good. And I can't believe the way I'm living my life today. And I don't have to wipe fingerprints off stuff anymore. And boy, is that a good news. Listen, you all have a great day. Have fun. Enjoy it. It's a beautiful day no matter what's happening with the weather. God bless. Take care. I pass.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Next up is Lulu L. followed by Kelsey R.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for taking the meeting. This is so much fun. This is Lulu L. from Florida. I am gratefully recovered today. It's difficult for me to remember going to my first 12-step meeting, my first OA meeting, because I'm laughing at the previous share, and I'm laughing at some of the antics that I remember myself doing. But when I went into those first meetings, I sat in a corner, and I was full of rage. I was so angry at what I thought was all these happy people exchanging similar stories, and I'm like, why in the heck are they laughing? I sat there and I cried. I cried for probably the first full month of going to meetings. I just sat in the corner and cried. And I, as soon as the Serenity Prayer began at the end of the meeting, I would hop up and run out the door. But they caught on to me. And I'm so blessed that finally I had ladies surrounding me, and they were surrounding me with love. They were accepting me. I'm like, how can you guys be laughing? Are you hearing some of the stories you're telling? But now I'm one of the ones telling stories similar to this previous story, wiping fingerprints off candy wrappers. That's freaking hilarious. But they pointed me to the sign and said, let go and let God, just let go of it. And I was like, I've been praying to be skinny for 100 years. I've been praying and praying that I would wake up and be skinny. And I don't know how many of you prayed that prayer, but you probably found out like I did that that doesn't work, that there's action, that there's faith. And I'm so grateful for this program that teaches me action, that shows me an action plan, that teaches me how to pray, that teaches me that the faith that I have developed and continue to develop day by day with the God that is clearly a comedian sometimes, a God that lightens up the heavy moments. And so I am so grateful for A Vision for You. I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful to everyone who supports this meeting by doing service. And that's all I have for this morning. So thank you very, very much. And I pass.
All right there, Lulu. Next up is Kelsey. I think it's Kelsey R.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much to everyone that's doing service at this meeting. This is Kelsey R. in Texas, and I am a newly recovered compulsive overeater. I'm super grateful to be able to say those words. This paragraph is so great. Fun, worldliness, and levity. Man, those are not adjectives that I would use to describe my personality. As being newly recovered and experiencing neutrality, that seriousness is slowly falling away. Much of my seriousness was due to the fact that I was so sick and truly unwilling to be rigorously honest about conceding to my innermost self that I am the real deal. Like, I am the real compulsive overeater. And one of my favorite podcasts talks about, like, you know, if you've struggled with something for 10 years, like, you're probably powerless. And, you know, it took me almost 2 decades. I came into the rooms when I was 17. I worked the steps multiple different ways. And every relapse, like, I saw aspects of my disease that I never thought I would witness. And, you know, the worst that it got was when I couldn't stop purging, and it was so scary. And this, you know, this was all I knew. Like, all I knew was how to binge and purge and overexercise and use laxatives and do anything to show the outside world that I was okay, because I was dying and so sick inside and getting my soul identity from the sides of my body. That is finally not my story. Like, it feels miraculous. It doesn't feel real, but that's the basis of a miracle, right? The fact that it's, you know, beyond anything of my control, like divine intervention. And I know without a doubt in my mind that my recovery is absolutely dependent upon trying to carry this message exactly as it's written in this big book. I have to, you know, even withhold some of my opinions and, you know, even some of my experience. I just have to go back to the book, because that's where I hold the light on the same path that Bill W. took. And I just, you know, the levity, like, I just, you know, and the fun, being able to find, you know, the people and program that I just adore so much, and that we can just laugh and be so real with each other, and be able to go through the peaks and the valleys of life. So super grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, Kelsey, thank you. Next up is, I believe it's Becky K, followed by Anne Marie M.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for your service, everyone, and for sharing. And I'm Becky K, recovering compulsive overeater from Maryland. And I really like how this passage, that last sentence, faith has to work 24 hours a day. Oh, boy. For me, that means I must work this program each and every day. And my favorite passage also with regard to this everyday kind of thing is on page 85, where it says, we have a daily reprieve from this disease contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And so you might want to ask, I always ask myself, well, what is this spiritual condition? You know, well, it's what this whole big book is about. We have to work the steps in order to get that spiritual awakening. And I really like what someone previously shared on that. This is really a way of life. And while we have a process that we must follow, where, you know, some of us might turn over our food or work certain things, we have to keep our eye on the purpose, which, you know, as previously mentioned, is what is this way of life each and every day, finding a power, turning our will over our life to that higher power. And not to sound cliche, but I really have gone from a life that has been irritable, restless, and discontent to something that is joyous, happy, and free. And you know, somebody wisely said, and you know, people who have had years of abstinence, which is fabulous because that is the way we recover. It's just, but it's really by stringing all these daily, you know, one day at a time, we string them together, and that's how we get years or decades of abstinence. And we have to remember that, you know, it's just one day at a time. It's this daily reprieve, and we have to work this program each and every day. Someone also wisely told me one day that, you know, the person with the longest abstinence is whoever got up earliest that day. So if someone got up at 4 versus 5 a.m., well, the 4 a.m. person gets the longest abstinence. But it's not really about that. It's just about working this program each and every day. And I really to me, it was just crystallized. Let's focus on the purpose, not the process. The process, you know, we have to pay attention to the process because it gets us, you know, through each and every day. But really appreciate all the shares and appreciate you letting me share. Thank you.
All right, Becky, thank you. Next up is Anne-Marie M., and it looks like we're going to – Anne-Marie and Sarah, if you could take 2 minutes apiece, that would be great. If you could do that, then everybody gets hooked up.
That's great.
All right, Anne-Marie, I can't barely hear you.
That's why. There you go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you perfect. So if you could take 2 minutes,
okay,
that would be great.
Sure. I said, yeah, I can certainly do that. No problem.
Awesome.
This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovered through God's grace and by working the steps through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. There was another someone else that shared about, not finding it helpful to come into a meeting with everybody happy. And I certainly, my first meeting, 12-step meeting that I walked into, people were happy. And I was miserable. And I think the self-centeredness in me was, how can people be having such a joyous time when my life is so miserable, you know? But one thing I did appreciate so very much when I went to my first OA meeting was people talking and saying out loud in front of other people the things they did with food that I swore I would never tell anybody. And I was amazed that I wasn't the only one who shoved food down my mouth, who hid behind convenience stores, looking through trash for the food that I just threw away, that I said I wasn't going to eat anymore. I wasn't alone, and I so appreciate this. And the friends that I have here in OA, in these 12-step programs, are like my family. They are so close to me and know, some of them know so much more than my family members. And I just appreciate the friendships that I've had for years and years. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
All right, Anne-Marie, thank you very much. Next up is Sarah B., and I think we'll have everybody taken care of.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Sarah B. from Michigan. I haven't shared on this line in maybe years. I'm starting over. I've been kind of hovering for 3 years and I'm speaking. I'm nervous just to kind of claim my seat. And just, I appreciate this paragraph. I'm on like day 19. I finally realized I'm never going to be able to eat like a normal person. I've worked through the steps before, but now I'm really feeling like doing it in a much deeper way. And I am stark. I'm just so abstinent right now that I'm just withdrawing. I'm off caffeine. I'm off all of yellow foods. It's like a whole different psychic experience for me. And there's a lot of emotions. And I just want to say, like, I reacted in a way to something that happened. Somebody moved my hostas that were my dad's hostas that were like, you know, it was all related to my dad. I had this huge anger reaction. And then I felt a lot of remorse that I had this action, not towards that roommate, but a different roommate was there witnessing it. And I didn't realize I was impacting her. And I'm only saying this because I had so much remorse yesterday, but I had so much fun talking to so many fellows. I was just crying and laughing. And we were all talking about crazy things we've had reactions to when people did things that belonged to our dead parents. And I don't know. It was just such an authentic, like laughing at myself, character defects, and hearing other people laugh at theirs. And it was like one of the most authentic days, even though it was like so painful and I was so raw and emotionally laid bare, but to be in the program and be with the fellowship and just cry till I was laughing. It's just an amazing experience. And to me, that's God, and that's love, and that's what recovery feels like today. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right, Sarah. Thanks a lot. Thank you for sharing. And you are our last share. We thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following closing. So today's share ID, Friday, April 26, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,350. All right. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Ramona A., please read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ramona A. in Vermont, a recovering compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.